The slap knocked Victor out of bed. Dazed, he opened one blue eye, then another, and stared at his father leaning over him, the bulk of his farmer's body looming as he fumbled with his belt. The first rays of sunlight were already streaming in from outside, confirming that a new day had arrived.
"Lazy, drunken idol," his father spat through clenched teeth. "What do you think? That the pigs will feed themselves? That the cow will milk itself? That the water will jump out of the well? Or do you think it is right to dump your work on your mother, who is already collapsing under the burden?"
At that moment, his mother stood by the stove, preparing the family's meager breakfast. She didn't look away or attempt to quell her husband's anger. Her wide, stooped back from years of hard labor did not convey any sympathy for Victor, who lay on the floor, meekly accepting the lashes of the belt. He knew there was no forgiveness for shirking his chores or neglecting the family's small livestock farm. It wasn't the first time he had failed to meet one of the most basic demands of his family. Everyone worked for the household. Everyone contributed their part. His brother and sister were already outside in the cornfield, busy fertilizing the soil, unaware of the drama unfolding at home. Last night, he had gone into the forest again to celebrate a friend's birthday. A few days earlier, they had brewed some homemade vodka from corn and potatoes they had stolen from a nearby plot. Once the alcohol hit their heads, they began complaining to each other about the Jewish girls in the village, who raised their noses and refused to mingle with any of them. "They think they're too good for us," they all agreed. Victor recounted how he had brought Sarah, the beautiful girl, a bouquet he had picked in the field and tried to coax her into a short walk in the woods. Sarah rejected the flowers, remarking that her future was not in this village and certainly not with a local boy like him. Deeply insulted, he grabbed her hand and tried to drag her forcefully into the woods. Her father, who had just returned from his work at the tavern, witnessed the scene and chased Victor off with a resounding slap. "Get lost and don't come back," he shouted at him. "Or I'll have to speak to your father." The threat worked, but from then on, whenever Victor passed by Sarah, he spat on the ground beside her and muttered, "Miserable Jewess, who do you think you are? One day you'll beg me to want you." To his friends, he added prophetically, "One day when I have money and status, they'll be chasing after me, you'll see." Victor continued thinking about the girl who had rejected him. At the same time, another friend spoke longingly about Budapest, its buildings and palaces, the beautiful girls, and the job opportunities. When Victor returned home drunk, the morning light was already peeking over the horizon above the mountains and forests. The village of San Martin in northern Romania had seen better days under Hungarian rule. Conditions gradually worsened when the decision was made to transfer territories to Romania. Aside from basic literacy, advanced education ceased altogether. Each family was assigned a farming quota. Taxes had to be paid to the authorities, the few entertainment venues were closed, and most families slid into poverty, sometimes barely having bread to eat. Families who could move back to Hungary tried to rebuild their lives. Victor's family's request to move was denied. They had no relatives in Hungary, and thus no justification to claim family reunification.
"Enough, enough, okay," he shouted. "I'm getting up. I'm getting up."
After his father had vented his anger, Victor turned to his chores. Bleeding and in pain, he distributed corn scraps to the pigs and sat down to milk their only cow. He touched the large birthmark on the back of his neck, which had swollen and protruded through his light hair, and washed the blood from his back with a bucket. That morning, he made a decision. He would not stay here any longer. There was no future for him here. He despised his uneducated parents, who saw him only as a pair of working hands. They were never there for him, even in the few instances when he had returned bruised and beaten from fights with other boys and needed a comforting hand. 16 years old, tall, sturdy, and easily able to pass for 18, he would sneak across the border to Hungary and find a different life. Anything would be better than this place,